Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We just got back from Phoenix, Arizona. And I tell you, when I hit the ground there on Thursday night, it was like 99 degrees. Going from freezing to 100 degrees was definitely a shock. And I was there because I spoke to the Constitution Party. They were having a Central Committee national meeting, a National Central Committee meeting. They were supposed to actually have a convention, and that got called off. And because I was asked to come speak at the convention, but again, because of COVID, that's why it got called off. So anyway, it was a very I love doing constitutional things. And I say that because it really exposes me to what I feel like brothers and sisters in liberty. Because when you're out there and you're talking, it's not like we disagree about anything. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are all sorts of people that, you know, regardless of where I go in the movement, they have very strong convictions with what they understand. And it's just a matter of getting them into the position of, you know, understanding the perspective of what the framers have in Republic Review and so forth. Because I'll get into a lot of that. I'll give you kind of a report on what happened, but let me kind of just go through the obligatories. As you know, the show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And this is really the only show that goes through what we need to do. I mean, you may find that you just have to have news and, you know, the constant commentary on what the heck's going on out there. I will probably venture to say, those of you that, you know, listen to the show off and on because, oh, well, but this is going on and he's not talking about it. I understand. This show only occurs at one point in time. The constant barrage of commentary, editorializing, and so forth occurs the other 23 hours of the day. So you can tune in and let's talk about what I believe is the important content and the important context. If there's things you want to talk about, if there's things you want me to dive into, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. Just send me an email. Say, can you explain this more? And I'll be happy to. What's really interesting is that when we go down these paths of content versus news cycle, the only time I get into news cycle or talking about what the heck's going on without going into content, when this show is not talking about content, then it's really more of a marketing. It's more of, you know, the affirmation for you. You should be going, absolutely, you know, what else do I need to hear to know that we've got to do something? We've got to get engaged. I've got a lot of people that are very committed to this, and I believe that reasonable people equally informed, I can't say this enough, reasonable people equally informed seldom disagree, and it's getting that middle part taken care of. And so we get into things that people just have a hard time getting over, you know, and I'm actually going to go through some of the things and why people have a hard time getting over the concept of sovereignty or republicanism and we the people. It's we the people, we the people, we're in charge. I'm sorry, friends. If that's the case, then we have a democracy, because that means that we're driving every decision and that we have to approve everything. The framers understood the dangers of a democracy. And so please, please, before you say we have to have control, we the people, I want you to understand what you are stating, because that is the path that the framers recognize as the most deadly or dangerous path we could be on. that we were far better off having a representative government and then having enumerated powers or delegating enumerated powers to them and confining them to those powers. Well, okay, so now they're no longer confined. They're doing anything and everything they want to do. What are we going to do about it? We got to enforce the fact that they don't have power to do all the things that they're doing. So, anyway, I would ask that you continue to tell people, ask people, have a listening party. I'm going to update the podcast page so that we'll have all the current content. Please remember what days you really like. When I'm singing the notes you want to hear, then write that down. Write that date down and then have a listening party. Say, you know, we're going to have a little party and we're going to actually play these excerpts. And then you can actually kind of go through and edit the show if you want to get rid of the promos. I ask that you don't, because it's not like we're trying to make any money here. What we're trying to do is we're trying to help educate you, and our promos are really promotionals that, you know, it's not, other than Ad Local. And actually, there's another group that's coming on board. I got to reach out to them again because I kind of engaged with them about 2 weeks ago and kind of let that go. And I'll tell you a little bit about them. This is a group of veterans and a group of law enforcement, retired people who are defenders of people and defenders of the law and so forth. And they're trying to create an organization that will actually be able to provide a good level of security for events and organizations. And so we're going to start doing some promos. I just want to give you a heads up that that's going to be one of the promos. I'm not taking a penny from these folks. I believe that we do need security, and we need to have secure, I'll just say, environments and venues so that people can literally get out and say what they want to say. And so these guys will be there to, you know, keep the threat out, as well as keeping those people out that, like, you know, the insolent or the spoiled brats that want to shout you down because you're saying things that they don't want you to say. They want to shut down your First Amendment right. And we see that at Berkeley and all these other places. So these guys are there to make sure that the venue is secured so that people can hear the message. And what we're going to do is start promoting these guys. And as I understand in talking to one of the core leaders, they are not looking to make money. What they're looking to do is to make, well, they have to have money because it costs money for these guys to travel around, to get on an airplane and go and provide security for any event and group. They don't want to charge most organizations because they understand that this is very important. This is critical. It's paramount that we have security, that we start protecting our voice as it starts resonating around America so that the message can get out. So these guys aren't trying to, you know, become a profit base. What they want to do is I think they have like a 501c3 and or they have this, let's just say they've got this mechanism so that you can donate and help these people, you know, fund this level of security. And I think that we'll be getting into all of this, but bottom line, the reason I'm saying this is what I run on my show are advertisements and are promos that are actually helpful and are very conservative, like Ad Local. If you're getting organized, if you have an organization and you do email and email management, such as the Constitution Party, such as, you know, any type of grassroots, local grassroots organization, go reach out to Ad Local. If you're using Constant Contact, if you're using MailChimp, if you're using any of these other progressive and non-constitutional, non-conservative supporting narrative companies, because they're the threat, they're the problem, then why are you giving them money? Because they're using that money to stifle, to collect data, to spy on us. Ad Local's not doing that. So I'm trying to give you the companies. And so as you can tell, you know, as I've grown, more and more people will probably be able to take advantage of getting free advertising because I don't charge these guys. I don't want to take a penny for trying to help people who are really helping the cause. And I deem that they can be a very useful tool for you. You want to get active. You want to get local. You want to have an email for your patriots and everything that you're doing. You need to start with add local and get your email services. As I have in one of my promos, $10. It's just $10 to get started up to 1,000 people, or up to 1,000 addresses or something like that. Listen to the advertisements and get involved. Go and get engaged with these folks. Anyway, so mark your day, and if you want to actually edit out the promos, then get Nero Wave Editor, and then you can find those little segments where the promos are, and you can just cut them out. You just remove them, then save the podcast, and you can now play my podcast commercial-free or promo-free from end to end. And that, you know, let me see, I have three advertising segments or promo segments of 2 minutes each. So that would remove out of the, you know, out of your listening time, 6 minutes. Then you can have a listening party. Have people come over and go, hey, if you can't catch the show, you need to come over and at least listen to this. We want to expose you to the truth. We want to expose you to things that you need to understand. And so this is how you can help us and we can help you. And that's really what it's all about. We have to start working together and uniting so the message can get out, so people understand Republic Review and all of these academic-based solutions we're providing. We'll be right back after these promos. Thank you so much.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and Republic Review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so as I was saying, just mark down the days. Try to make note of the days that you go, wow, GR is singing my tune. Then when that's the case, then you can, you know, plan on using those days for, you know, having a listen party. When you have people come over, hey, you know, I want you to hear this guy. That way you can help them understand that there is actually a message out there instead of somebody giving you their opinion on the news cycle, you know, specifically this, that, or the other thing. and getting people to understand that information and learning things that you don't know but are very important to understand and why and how those things are important, then we're placing context to not only moving forward, but being able to put the news cycle behind us. And once we're doing that, once we can start as an organization and as a group, as a focused group of people, not necessarily an organization per se, because I'm not trying to create one. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get organizations to change their focus, to reduce all the noise and get solid, focused, and compliance to the Constitution. I'm telling you, one of the things that I've said this before, and I'll just say it again. This election is the wake-up call. Things are going to happen quickly. Things are going to be at a breakneck speed. Once the Democrats, if they take full control, if they do, and as soon as they do, watch out. This is why, if you've never been active at a state legislative session, you need to get active. You need to find somebody, and you need to start telling them that they have the tools and the power to get the federal government into compliance. Do not bow and do not allow them to discard our Constitution. And only the state legislators have that authority and power to stop this. So that's why this is so important. I'm hoping that people, as a matter of fact, everybody that's listening to this at this particular time has to understand these things. You have to, because that's probably why you're listening. Anyway, let me also just say this, that we have this the schedule coming up that, the holidays and everything else is going to be, it's going to be pretty intense. Let me be the first one to state to my Marine Corps brothers and sisters, happy birthday, because tomorrow is the Marine Corps birthday. And then on the 11th is the state of Washington birthday. And instead of celebrating Veterans Day as a retired Marine, I am celebrating the state of Washington becoming a stakeholder, a owner of the Constitution, to actually have that shareholder status and equal status with all other states in overseeing and controlling this Constitution in our federal government, even though they're not doing anything about it, by at least noting. So this is one of the things you need to do. You need to find out what your state birthday is, and you need to use that day as a awareness tool, getting people to go, wow, I never realized becoming a part of the state or becoming a state in the United States, that day, that birthday is, it's critical, and it's critical to recognize the role the states have in the Constitution. So anyway, enough with the listener drive and enough with all of that. As we move into the holidays, though, we're going to have, as you know, I'm going to do a special on Thanksgiving. Now, this is the first time I'm going to have an opportunity to actually do and be somewhere where I'm not going to be able to do a live feed. So we'll try to make sure that we have that week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all live content. But I want you to understand, and so we may actually just play Thanksgiving Day message on both the day before Thanksgiving and on Thanksgiving. What we do here every year is we read George Washington's proclamation for the first Thanksgiving. This is how we as a nation should be recognizing Thanksgiving. This is what we should be doing. And I'm actually going to have an opportunity to be able to become close to that. So, and I'll tell you more about it after that stuff happens, as I try to, just because I told you that I was going somewhere. I didn't lend to, how, where, what. That's OPSEC. And now that I'm back, I've been to Phoenix, Arizona. I was at the Constitution Party meeting. And so we'll get into all of that. One more thing that's the obligatory. As a U.S. citizen, you have a birthright to liberty. But along with that birthright comes the responsibility of protecting our liberty and supporting and defending the Constitution against enemies foreign and domestic. Our real threat are domestic enemies. Do not think that these are our brothers. As you hear the verbiage coming from Biden, we're all Americans now. What that means is, however they change America, we're all moving with them. These people are in direct rebellion against our Constitution, and I have no faith in the court system. I have no faith in the GOP Central, or the RNC, I should say, in the DNC. These parties are working together to destroy our constitutional republic. Some of the people in the parties know. Most of them do not know. They do what they're told. They're the lemmings, or they're the useful idiots. They're tools that are clueless in where we're going and what we're doing. So let's get into, you know, the report. Oh, but coming up, let me also tell you, we're going to get into, probably this week, we're going to get into the fundamentals of natural law. I'm going to give you some premises of how some people dictate or perceive natural law. And I just want to give you a fundamental understanding of really what natural law is and why we must embrace it, why the framers embraced it. Because if you're living by the tenets of natural law, then you are living in an enlightened society. And that's why that's important. Because with enlightenment, we actually improve our quality of life. But when we abandon natural law and the path of enlightenment, we allow our society to become debased. That's why so many people are just so consumed with self-effacing addictive behavior, whether that be pornography, whether that be drugs, whether that be gambling, whether that be gaming, it doesn't matter. Addictive behavior is dangerous in every direction. So let's dive into a quick report. Now, I'm going to get into the election, and I'm going to provide you a report on the election. But before I do, what I want to do is give you a report on what happened during the Constitution Party's Central Committee's slash was supposed to be a convention. It was really good. They actually had Don Blankenship, the nomineeFor the Constitution Party. And there's lots of people that love Don Blankenship, and he's a good guy. This guy's a good man. And the Vice President, Bill Moore, got to meet him. Another really good man. Everybody there is a good man and woman. They're good people. They're good patriots. Let's put it into the patriotic form. These people are patriots. You have to understand that in 1791, in 1991, the Constitution Party, or actually it was the U.S. Taxpayers Party, that broke away from the Republican Party. They said, you guys are going down the wrong path, and they tried to take a more purist approach. And as a matter of fact, if you look at what they were really trying to do, it was very similar to, you know, Martin Luther breaking away from the Catholic Church. He said, you guys are missing the real point. And he posted his grievances, and this is what we need to do. And he went off and created the Lutheran Church and the Presbyterian faith, or that concept. Anyway, as things progressed with the Constitution Party, the U.S. Taxpayers Party, I think people then realized that, you know what, we're still kind of missing it, and they fine-tuned themselves to become the Constitution Party. And so they wanted to be on the moral high ground, and technically this is where that party was going, and they are the purists. If you understand the Constitution and government, we need a party that is focused on full compliance to the... If you understand a party is political energy to make change for your particular slant. Supposedly, the Republicans believe that they're out there using political energy to conserve certain values that they want to hold on to. However, they're keep making all of these compromises, moving down this path of, oh, well, we wanted to repeal Obamacare, but now we're going to repeal and replace. In other words, we were originally repulsed by this idea, but now we're going to keep it, but we want to make it better. And in that essence, compromise, political compromise, is always at the detriment of liberty and at the detriment of our Constitution, because political compromise cannot move what is constitutional, what isn't constitutional. There's only one process. You must amend the Constitution for the federal government to have the constitutional authority to exercise the powers of health care, to exercise the powers of education, to exercise the powers of energy, and all of these powers that they're exercising, there must be amendments for them. And there are none, friends, and you know this. And so we'll get back into what I was saying at the Constitution Party and the people that were there. And so you will enjoy this. This is not a part of the news cycle, but these are my insights of meeting with my brothers and sisters. We'll be right back after this.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so what I'm holding here is kind of the meeting agenda or the itinerary for the 2 days that I was down there. And really, to be fair, the first day, I was out doing a lot of errands. Some of the things that, I'm not sure how you pack, but I like packing in advance. I did not have a lot of time to pack. So I realized that I had forgotten some pretty important things. And so I actually had to do some errands to kind of pick some of those things up. But I went out, connected with everybody first. And then I looked at the itinerary and go, you know what, I need to be back by this point in time so that I can, you know, listen to Don Blankenship and so forth. But I did miss the strategic planning and so forth. But what I didn't want to do was I didn't want to get injected into their conversations and start directing them down a path that they didn't understand why. So it was kind of important to kind of let them have these dialogues like proposed bylaws proposed or talking about the platforms and those types of things. And so what ended up happening was I kind of let them have their administrative time to talk about that, because I know how it gets, or I know how I can be when I'm in a meeting like that. I'll start driving ideas and points, and I end up taking up their time. Not that these aren't good ideas and points, but I want them to kind of flush out, because they set aside the time to talk about the things that they had actually thought was important. And what I'm bringing to the table at that point in time isn't important, because it's not in context yet for them to understand why they need to kind of have this paradigm shift. And I'll give you a good example. One of the first things I said was that, you know, as I was getting ready, I just, you know, just kind of killing some time. And I said, what you guys should do, instead of having a ticket for a president, vice president, you know, candidates as your nominees, you should nominate two presidential candidates. In other words, two candidates for president. And then they kind of looked at me and go, well, why would we do that? I mean, we have a nominee for one president, and then we nominate the vice president, or the president picks the vice president. And so without them having to ask that question, I basically, you know, helped them make the leap to say, as you know, the electors are supposed to choose who's to be president and who's to be vice president. And I didn't get into all of the details of that, because if you look, how is it that we had a Democratic vice president under Lincoln, with Lincoln being a Republican? That was because the electors actually chose who to be president, to who's going to be vice president. It wasn't decided by the party. The Constitution never allowed the party to change the outcome and take away the outcome from the electors. The electors are supposed to be the wise men of who would be best for this nation. Now, I can tell you that between, you know, Douglas and Lincoln, Douglas was probably more of the conservative, but some people looked at what some of the things that Lincoln said during the Douglas-Lincoln debates, and I think they gloss over Lincoln's paradigms. Nobody would have anticipated during the Lincoln-Douglas debates that Lincoln was going to offer or sign and get on board with an amendment to the Constitution to galvanize slavery in America. I mean, so when you start really looking at these wise men in the Electoral College, they weren't wise men anymore. They were political operatives. And this is one of the reasons why we gradually migrated into a party control. Because it was shortly after the Civil War where the parties actually perverted the Electoral College in creating primaries and in creating political control and moving the Electoral College under the control of the parties to where the parties dictated who was going to be the Electoral College instead of letting we the people. The party system has seized our political processes and even has perverted our government to better themselves. And the reason I'm saying all of this is because, as I said earlier, the Constitution Party is the party that is, they're purists. They are desiring full compliance. They're trying to put aside these party agendas in government. There's no room for party agendas in government. You comply. If you want to have dialogue regarding some change or some power that the federal government needs or your state needs, that is not something that you make compromises on and then grant yourself those powers. There are modes of change, and those changes are going through a constitutional amendment. Folks, we have allowed our public servants to run rickshaw over us in ignoring the delegated powers of the Constitution and staying within the enumerated powers. So, as I threw this out there and I started saying, well, look, you know, this forces the dialogue. Let's have the news media ask several times over until they finally get it, that the Electoral College is the two are the people who are supposed to determine who is president, who's vice president. That's clearly in the Constitution. And it forces people to go, huh, wow, that's interesting. These guys are actually wanting the Constitution to be abided by. Wow, that's refreshing. I honestly believe. And the other thing I added on to that was the point that they needed to do their nominee now. If they nominate their presidential candidates, their first one, and as a matter of fact, if they nominate one presidential candidate now, and then they nominate another one in a year or two, so that then we have two that people can kind of rally behind and get behind, it doesn't matter. They'll both be out there as the presidential nominees, and that they will ask the people to vote for one or vote for the other. Because a party is not obligated to provide a ticket. A party can actually have two presidential candidates if you understand the Constitution. So what would happen is if you had two presidential candidates on a ticket, what would happen is whoever got the most votes would become president. Unfortunately, we're doing popular vote, and popular vote is another perversion. But at least we're starting to create the dialogue and create the narrative that we need to get back to following the Constitution. People shouldn't even be voting for the candidates. They must be voting for their electors. So anyway, getting back to this whole thing, as I mentioned that, obviously things were really clicking. And at that point, I, you know, went down my reasonable people equally informed path and started driving those things. And I'm not going to get into all of the things that I talk about because I talk about them here. I did get I felt like it was an overwhelming reaction from the party members. By the time I was done, it seemed like every group was very interested in having me coming in to meet with their groups virtually so that we can talk the details. One of the things I told them is that my purpose of talking was not to talk to them about Republic Review. I'd asked the national chair, Jim, to basically email these things out so that... And it's Jim Clymer, by the way. I asked him to email these things out to everybody so they could read them and have context to what I'm talking about, because I'm not going to necessarily talk about them. And the whole thought process was, as I start talking about recommendations and things that they need to do, if they understand Republic Review and these and what I'm trying to do and the direction I'm trying to take this nation, then I think the party would go, wow, this is starting to line up. This is really starting to make sense, which is why I didn't want to infuse into their brainstorming session the day before. So anyway, we started talking. We actually ended talking about having virtual meetings and so forth. One of the things I also noticed, and I actually covered the issues of martial law. I covered the issues of the 14th Amendment. One of the things, and we're going to be going into a break again soon because I can see that we're getting close to that point in time to the break. So when we come back, I'm going to have a list of topics or list of subject matters that we all need to start understanding so that we put appropriate context. There are people that are living under the new, or I should say the democratic or the progressive narrative of what a sovereign is. I can't tell you, it's very shocking for me to find out that there are people out there that refuse to admit that we have a representative government with constitutions that delegate specific powers. And so when I say, well, the government is the sovereign over the... No, they're not. We are. And I'm going... It's like I'm running into a wall here. They're in complete denial. I could say, wow, it's a really bright, the sun's really bright tonight when we're talking about the moon, because obviously I'm in denial that the moon is up and not the sun. They are in the same boat. They don't acknowledge sovereignty of the government. And in a Republican form of government, that's what you have. You have sovereign governments. And so I'm going to get into some of these topics that we need to start understanding when we come back from the break so that we can place better context. And you're going, okay, these are agreed definitions that we can move forward on. because I think some of these things are little snares for some people, and they get all tied up in the minutiae over these things. With that, we're going to be right back after these two promos, so please stay tuned and hang on.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so let me get into some of the things that really quick, because I'm going to just kind of gloss over them. And I may actually come back and dive into these things, but I do dive into these things when we talk about the Constitution and each of these topics. And so some of the things that I think really need to be defined so that people understand there is no confusion regarding sovereign. What is a sovereign? A sovereign is somebody that has the ultimate say over something. So do we, the people, have the ultimate say over war? No, not in our government. We have delegated the declaration of war to the federal government and our representatives. So if you think that we, the people, can declare war, no, we can't. Sovereignty has its level of responsibilities, but it doesn't necessarily make sovereignty a carte blanche thing. It doesn't, just because Congress can declare war doesn't mean Congress can dictate who your babysitter is going to be. They can't dictate your health care. They have very enumerated sovereignty, and it's the same thing as your states. And so when I talk to people, they go, no, we the people are the sovereigns. And they can't get past this concept of delegation. If we have to be the sovereigns, in their paradigm, what they're asserting is we have a democracy. And they're wrong. And I know they want to be right, and I'm not the person that likes to tell people they're wrong, but I will tell them, or I will not necessarily succumb to saying, yeah, you're right, we're the sovereigns, because they've just changed the definition of our government. We can't allow that. We need also to define, and so people understand what liberty is. Liberty is not free agency. And as a matter of fact, on my Reclaiming the Republic website, actually, I believe it is the Mobius Strip Press page where you'll actually find, yeah, it's there. So it's Mobius Strip Press, where I have in the very top left side in white and the blue on the little blue strip on the side of the page, I have this little citation. I'm quoting myself out of my first book. Civil society. This is how I define liberty and its role in society. Civil society is wholly dependent upon the symbiosis between the fundamental principles of liberty. Those fundamental principles are 1, free agency, 2, responsibility, and 3, accountability. When these principles are balanced and in harmony with the individual citizens, liberty can then act as a catalyst in elevating synergy within the community and society. These synergies will lead to stronger spiritual well-being, greater productivity, improved health, and the development of wealth, period. So when we start defining liberty, when we go down that path of saying, well, this is what liberty means, we have to put it into context, because it's not about free agency. It's not about just responsibility. It is those all 3 of those principles of accountability as well. Anyways, Constitution. We have to let people understand that the Constitution is not a surrendering of the decisions of all things to government. A constitution is a contract. It's a compact. And actually, when I went through with the Constitution Party, hats off to the Constitution Party, I said, give me 3 words that start with C that means the same thing as a constitution. And they got the compact, contract, and the covenant. Actually correct. I didn't even have to help. That's how like-minded these people are. They're just... They're thinking that they have to function as a party and operate as a party of compromise and driving change, instead of saying, hold it, maybe we need to be the lanes in the road and say compliance. It's all about complying to the Constitution. And I could see the lights popping on at different points in time during this presentation I was giving. Property and property rights, understanding and defining what is really property. And I think Madison's essay was, which is why we go through it, we really start helping people understand the magnitude of what property really is. The same thing with rights. The same thing with enforcement and enforcement of constitutions. The militia and its role. We need to define those things. We also, and there was a gentleman that I told him I'd love to have him on the show just to have the conversation regarding citizens. This guy has done a lot of great, and I don't know if he did it or if somebody else did it, but he did a lot of great research just on the myopic issue of citizenship and citizens. And so those types of things we really do. And so when we have subject matter experts like this gentleman, and I gave him my contact information, hopefully he'll get back with me, because he was also talking about militia as well, and he's very involved in the militia. I will yield to people that are subject matter experts on these things. The problem is that I have, when we do yield, we have to make sure that there still are some lanes in the road, because things have changed. When we start looking at the militia goes all the way back to England. And all the way back to this concept, back to King George and how the militia was done. But our government has changed significantly when we created this new hybrid constitutional republic. So anywho, oath, voting, and duties of a citizen. So those types of things are also critical with the citizenship. Public servants, defining what a public servant is and what is their primary responsibility. They're not to serve themselves at the trough of government. They're not to, you know, send us pork barrel projects. Their job is to support the Constitution. And that's why their oath doesn't say, I'm going to support all the people that voted for me. I'm going to support the people that funded me. No, you are to support the Constitution. We need to also get into commerce and the federal role over commerce, its involvement in trade, both international and both coming in and going out, is what I meant by both. There are 2 sides to commerce that the federal government has and is supposed to regulate. The commerce coming in and the commerce flowing out from the states, and how they're to kind of regulate that, not necessarily dictate how we are supposed, yeah, how you can make a product. They have no power over that, nor do other states have power over other states to say, you've got to build a car to our standards. No, they don't. If you want a car built to your standard and you want to compete in the market, you have to build that car. And, oh, by the way, you can't stop another state from selling the cars that they manufacture in your state. That's economic warfare. And it is noncompliance to the Constitution. Anyway, we got to go through the exclusive legislation. We've got to go through what that means and where we are today and how the Constitution has actually created, I believe, some non-compliant amendments to the Constitution, such as those later amendments giving Washington, D.C. representation, or and actually allowing Washington, D.C. to have a mayor and a city council and other people in government. That was never the intent. Anyway, going through the necessary proper, the supremacy, the general defense and welfare, and as I already said, the Commerce Clause. We need to go through and clarify what these things really mean. We need to clarify republicanism, especially American republicanism, as I've defined this. Not as I've defined it, actually. It was as Roger Sherman defined it. As he identified that we are a land of sovereigns and that sovereigns are those who must be represented. Anywho, going through federal land and the property that they're supposed to hold and what the property they can hold. States' equal rights and the equal footing doctrine, the Monroe Doctrine, the guarantee clause, and I don't mean just a Republican form of government, but the guarantee to protect us from invasion as well as civil unrest as well as, civil unrest. Those are the three. Invasion, executing the laws of the Union, and suppressing insurrections and civil unrest. Attainders, Bill of Attainders, and ex post facto laws. We need to go through and understand those things so that when we start looking at some of the laws that are actually ex post facto laws or attainder laws, we go, we actually have created and allowed laws to get passed and exist and executed and enforced that are violating the Constitution. Habeas corpus and the suspension of our constitutional rights. Common law and common law grand juries. Petitioning for redress of grievances, what it is and how to do it. So these are the types of things that we really need to get it. The Ninth Amendment as well. How just because there's an enumerated power, it does not allow that power to be construed that it can deny us any of our rights. Statehood, and when I say statehood, opening up the Constitution, whether we like it or not, the good Lord gave us a Constitution to allow states to actually become states. And I get a lot of resistance from people. I'm going, I would think that you would support the Constitution the way it's written. And I go, there's these people that, I have a problem with letting these rogue states or these states that are in turmoil, like Crimea or what have you, in. The fact of the matter is that they don't become a state until they go through the process, and they don't become a full-fledged territory until they've initiated and worked themselves into that position. These things don't happen overnight, my friends, but it is the path of getting rid of the UN, getting rid of the oligarchies and these evil dictators around the world. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. And we'll have more on this Constitution Party in our next episode. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.